Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kel.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm excited.
You're excited to listen, or do you have your own excitement going on?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited to spend time with you.
Oh,
I don't get to see you anymore. You're too fucking busy.
Well, so are you.
It's true. This is like my scheduled couch time with you.
That's fair. Okay, I'm going to jump right into a story today. I'm going to make the name Zita.
Cute.
Yeah. So Zita is over Zoom. We can see each other. And at the very beginning of the session, she asks me if I can connect with spirits, with people. And I said, yeah. She said, can you connect with my mom? And I said, I'll give it a try. So I asked the spirit guides and they go, she actually wants biological mom. And I said, okay, she didn't say that. And they said, no, she's adopted. And she's looking for her biological mother, and her biological mother is passed over. So this is going to be a medium. And you're going to start that way and just confirm some things for yourself and for her. And I said, okay. So I said to Zita, you're asking for a biological mother, correct? And she goes, yes, like this. And I said, she's passed over. And I said, so it's going to be a session for medium. And she goes, okay. Yeah. So then the guides came in and said, we're going to talk a little bit about her adoptive parents just to start it, just to give her some validations because she can validate everything about her adoptive parents. And I said, okay, go. So I just repeat to Zita what the guides are saying. So they come in and say things like that her adoptive parents had to go to another country to get her. So it wasn't within the country. They had to travel. And she's giving me yeses to everything, by the way. So I won't keep saying yes. I'll just give you the information. She has siblings and she has a brother and a sister and they're both adopted as well. That's confirmed. And then the guides decide we're going to talk about the mom and the dad's personality. Oh, Kelly, it was so sweet. It was so good. They talked about how they both really valued education, but not just strictly an education to get a job, but that they valued education in how to fix shit. They valued an education in how to cook shit, how to be able to communicate with each other. They looked at every aspect of life as a need to be educated in some way, including types of humor or different types of religion. Like they just had such an incredibly wonderful way of seeing things. And one of the best parts of both parents was their ability to find humor and playfulness in all of these things. Her parents, age appropriate, introduced humor and wit to the children and teach them the kindness of wit, as opposed to sometimes the anger, the verbal abuse involved in other aspects of humor. So it's like, no. And this is something that's very specific about her parents and the relationships in the family is that you are allowed to use humor, but it can never be to verbally abuse another person. And so then that, of course, entails that you have to know what abusing another person means, which is really, really incredible. So the spirit guides talk about the family dynamics that originate with the mom and the dad and how they speak to each other and how they are in life, I'll say, and then how they raise Zita and her brother and her sister. And Zita sits there, Kelly, and honest to God, she just sits and looks at me. She goes, I can't believe how fun this is. She goes, this is the stuff that I already know. She says, of course I know it, but I have to know it in order to be able to say that that's true. Mm-hmm. And that you're giving me the truth from the spirit guides and that you're telling me that my mom knows all of this because she's with the spirit guides, right? And I said, yes. And she goes, okay. She goes, I'm following. She says, I'm following, I think, what you're doing. And she says, but I always want you to feel free, Karen, to come in if I should be linking things together.
Oh, cool.
And I'm missing the opportunity to understand. And now you can see exactly where her parents have taught her not to dismiss things or to make fun of something or to call it science or whatever we want to name things we dismiss.
Yeah, they're giving value to all parts of life.
Yes. And so she says, I invite you to tell me if I'm missing linking something. But she did I have to tell you, she did such a good job during the whole session. And then she says, okay, do I just tell you to continue or do I ask questions? What do I do? So Zita every once in a while would ask a question, but mostly she let her mom, in combination with some of the spirit guides, because it went back and forth sometimes, talk to her. And then she would just sit there and give me a little bit of feedback about it. So then her mom says, okay, now that I've described the family that you grew up in, she says, the next thing I want to do is go back to when I got pregnant with you. She says, I want to tell you what happened. And so it takes me a bit of time because I have to be quiet. I have to download the file and I have to get all of the information. And I say to Zita, okay, the information is in. I'm going to explain something to you. I don't know if you can validate it or not. And I said, so I'm just going to give it to you. And then I can give you a random piece of information mm-hmm. about you personally. And if that's correct, I'll assume the other information is, are you comfortable with the process? And she says, yeah, I like the process. She says, that's kind of like getting two things. She says, yeah. She says, that's remarkable, Karen. And she says, it's remarkable that you can do both and that fast. Mm-hmm. She said, I'm very grateful. This must have taken you years to learn how to do that. And
I think it's interesting too, because you'll say, I need a minute. And what that really translates to is about 20 to 30 seconds max. Mm-hmm. And I know other mediums who will actually sit silent for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's not a slight. That is how they develop their gifts. That is how they access information. That is how it is working for them. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that as a client, you know, when you're sitting in the chair, you want things faster because you want more. And it's hard to sit in the silence. A lot of people are just straight up uncomfortable with silence, period.
Yeah.
So she's right. It is remarkable what you're doing on many different levels.
Thank you. So then I downloaded that and I said, okay, I said, your mom's describing that she was about 20 years old when she found out she was pregnant with you. She had a boyfriend, but this was not serious, she said, not a serious boyfriend. Or not long enough to be considered that they were going to get married, that kind of thing. And she says, she tells her boyfriend she's pregnant and I just see him leaving. And Zita asked about her biological father, and this session wasn't focused on him. So I said to her, I'm sorry. I said, I don't have a lot of answers about him. He just literally seems to have left, like not just in her life, but this session as well. And it seems that the session is supposed to be about you and your mother. And she goes, She goes, this is really funny. She goes, I had a conversation with my mom and dad last night and my brother and sister about this session with you today. And they asked me a whole bunch of questions about what the session purpose was. And they asked me point blank if it was to connect with my father or not. Mm-hmm. And she said, guess what the answer was? And I said, oh, you go ahead. You tell me. And she goes, it was to connect to my mom. And she goes, this is super cool to hear that my dad is just respecting me.
Yeah, it's not an absence of rejection. It's not an absence of withholding. It's you have a mission. I'll step aside. You get your needs fulfilled.
Exactly. Yeah. So then her mom said, okay, so your dad walked out and I was 20 with no partner. And to say more about it, no finances. She said, and I wasn't in school. I basically had like a part-time job and I was living with my parents. And she said, so I had no financial means or to see a future to care for you. And she said, so originally, she said, I thought about abortion. And she said, and then I decided that I would not, but not for religious reasons or for other people pressuring me. She said my parents were offering me different solutions, and I made my own choice. She says, so I made the choice to continue to work and to give you up for adoption, and then to get on with my own life, and my parents supported that.
That's huge.
Yeah. She said my parents supported the pregnancy, the delivery. They helped me financially get through it all. They helped me work just part-time so that I could keep a job. And she said, and then my employers, you know, obviously knew everything. And then afterwards, she says, I stayed on with that company for decades. And she said, and I did okay, but never well. She said, just in the country that we lived in, it's nothing like where you live now. She said, our standard of living isn't any comparison to yours. Mm. So she said, I could say I lived in a hut. You know, I lived in a building, but I can't tell you I lived in a house. She says, for my whole life, she says, it's just not our country. Mm-hmm. So she says to her daughter, I want you to know that I gave you up because I love you, mm-hmm. not because I didn't love you. And she says, and I want you to know that it wasn't rejecting you. It wasn't abandoning you. And as I said all of those words, Zita looks at me and she goes, oh my God. She goes, do you know what's on the piece of paper in front of me right now, Karen Sarlo? And I said, I can guess. I said, accurately, I believe, given what she just listed. Because I find frequently in sessions, not every time, but frequently, the comments that come out in channeling do tick off a person's need to know list. Mm-hmm. Not always. I'm not saying it's 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything with perfection. But I do find that it can be some. And she went, oh, you've got quite a few of the things on my list. I wanted to know if I had been abandoned and rejected. I wanted to know about these feelings. And I said, she says that you don't actually have those feelings because the adoptive parents gave you a secure upbringing. And she went, oh, yes, like this. And I said, now, do you understand that? And she goes, no. I said, they're the attachment styles. Mm-hmm. And I said, so if you understand the attachment styles under attachment theory, there are four. And I said, if your adoptive parents had been in any of the three insecure styles, you may be projecting fears of abandonment and rejection and my parents or my biological mother didn't love me, like onto her, when in fact it all comes from being raised by your adoptive parents in an insecure attachment system mm-hmm. within your family. And she went, oh, wow.
Can we do an opposite here?
You can.
Because, I mean, we're energy healers and we're talking about spirit and how from lifetime to lifetime certain energies get transferred. You can also be raised in a very secure attachment style with your adoptive parents and have a nagging underlying feeling of abandonment and rejection because that may have been how she came into this world in the first place. And in spite of the best efforts of her, I'll say family of origin, meaning like that's where she really did grow up, right? That kind of precursor already put into her cellular makeup those feelings of and experience of rejection and abandonment. Right. So different scenarios are happening for all of us. I just want people to see the combinations to understand, like, it might not be projection. It might be, wow, in fact, I had everything I could ask for. Why is this feeling still here?
Wonderful. You did a beautiful job of explaining that for people, Kelly.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love that. So there was a brief conversation around the attachment styles, because she hadn't heard of them, and the three insecure styles and the one secure style. And she goes, so you're telling me that my mom was as secure as she could be and that she did everything from the right place. And I said, that's correct. And she says, and then I grow up with adoptive parents that are very secure, both of them. And she says, so this explains to me, I wrote these words down because I wondered why I didn't feel them. She says, because, and then we just sort of giggled. And she goes, because, you know, I've known that I'm adopted and I've always thought that I was supposed to feel these things. Mm. And she goes, and people have put it on me that I feel these things because I'm adopted and I don't feel them. So they wonder what's wrong with me that I don't. They think I'm in denial.
Oh, it's funny because I can hear some of the listeners listening to this being like, imagine she gets two tries at families and both give her secure. Are you fucking kidding me? She won the lottery twice.
Right. Except that biological mother would never think that she was winning the lottery given a certain type of lifestyle. True. Right?
Yeah.
So, and you'll hear more about that in a minute. So then we just had a chuckle about that and the fact that other people wanted to project onto her their beliefs around adopted children and what they should be feeling, mm-hmm. when in reality, she didn't have those feelings at all. And yet she had still written them down. And that goes to show you the power of other people's input. Mm-hmm. That she showed up to a session to talk to her biological mom with these words, but didn't and wanted to know if it was her mom's fault. And here she was like getting the pushback, you can't blame me, which I thought was just such a beautiful moment for everybody. Then her mom says, okay, she says, so this is what happened. This is how I gave her up. These are the reasons why I gave her up. And she says, to this very day, now that I'm dead, and I'm on the other side and I can see how she was raised and the life that she's had, I made the right decision. And she says, so I'm super happy on the other side to know that 20-year-old me and whenever age she was when she died, because, and I don't know the age, I just know that it was decades later. That's all I know. Are both in the same place of happiness and security in knowing that we've collided. We're both happy with the same decision. Mm-hmm. There was no regret. Mm-hmm. And so I said, did you understand that? And she goes, I do. And I said, how do you feel about it? And Zita goes, really good. She goes, I'm really happy to hear that my mom lived decades longer after that and didn't regret that decision with me. She goes, as opposed to thinking, I wish she felt regret that she gave me up. Didn't she want me? Like this. She goes, this is so helpful, Karen. Thank you. So then her mom says, okay, now I want to tell her next step, what happened in my life afterwards till I died. She said, I did end up marrying and I did end up having biological children with my husband. She says, I ended up with two children. And she says, now they're still in this, like in the country where I grew up, and it's nowhere, it's not even on the same continent as her. And her father is still, biological father is still alive, and her two siblings. But that's going to be very hard to trace because in my country, not where she's grown up, we don't have a system. Like, mm-hmm. there's no system like this. It was handing over a baby to somebody. Mm-hmm. And she says, there's no system to trace this. So I don't know how she's really going to find us. And in our country, we don't have all these medical tests for DNA. She goes, so I really don't know how she'll be able to do this. But I also know, and I'm not offering to tell her how, she's not really looking to find them. She's okay. She wanted to connect with me. So then she says, I want to explain to her that I went on to be married to somebody I really loved and that I enjoyed raising my children. Mm. And that there were days where I was just able to enjoy my life with my family. And there were many moments where I wondered where she was and I thought of the age she would be and what she might look like if she looked like me or she looked like her father. Mm-hmm. She says, there were times that were like that. But she says, I never held on to it too long because I wanted to be present for my family and I wanted the right to be present in my own life. Mm. And I wanted to give her soul the right to be present and truly living in her own. Mm-hmm. And not for her to feel attachments or to feel a lingering or a yearning. She says, and I didn't want the yearning either. I wanted to live my life. So it's not without love. It was with respect. And with love for her. So I told her that. And she was like, wow. She says, beautiful to hear. I love this. And she goes, is there anything else she wants to tell me? And her mom comes in and says, yeah, I'd like to now describe her. She says, she wants to know that I know my daughter. She says, so I'm going to tell her how she's like me. Because a lot of us want to know how we're like our parents. So she says,
One reason or another.
Yeah, good or bad, Kelly. So she says, I want to tell her that she has my eyes, the color and the shape. And she has my nose, but she has her father's mouth. And she says, and I want her to know that she has sort of a mixture of her father's hair and my hair. And she says, which is why she can love her hair and hate her hair. She goes, because it does different things in different days and in different kinds of weather. It could go from curly to straight. Mm-hmm. She goes, I'm the one with the curly wavy hair. And my boyfriend was the one with the straight hair. And somehow she managed to get a bit of both of our hair. And she says, and we had basically the same hair color. It's just dark brown. And she says, she's got dark brown hair. So there's no real difference there. She says, but in personality, she says, I had a boyfriend for just a couple of months. So I can only describe her father a little bit in personality. But she says, I can certainly tell her where she's like me. So she starts to say where she's like her in little mannerisms, Kelly, and in some of the ways that her adoptive mother, this is really, really cool, the way her adoptive mother behaves and the way that her adoptive mom and father raised them is similar to the way that she and her husband raised their children, with virtues, with morals, with like these beautiful values. So you can see an overlap, or the biological mom does, between all three of the children, because of the types of parents they are. Mm-hmm. And so she says, I can describe your personality easily because it's very similar to your siblings, actually. And the way your parents have raised you is very similar to the way that you would have been raised had you been with me, which I thought was an incredible thing to also learn. And she says, so I can describe that to her and her personality in that way. But she says, one of the key things I want to say is that I'm incredibly gifted in terms of art. And she says she has the same ability. She says, in art. When I told Zita that, she was like, oh my God. She goes, all my art is my mother. Are you kidding me? She goes, just a minute, Karen. And all of a sudden, my client is up and jumping out of the chair and she's gone. She's gone out of the Zoom range, right? And I hear commotion. I hear banging things. I hear all kinds of stuff going on in the background. She comes running back, Kelly, and she's got artwork done where she has sketched herself. But as far as I can see, she looks, the person she has sketched looks more like her biological mother with some changes. So she's trying to do a self-portrait. And she goes, does she look like this? Does she look like this? Does she look like this, Karen? And I look at it and I said, oh, bring it closer. And I'm looking at it. And I said, it looks like you, but it looks more like her. And she goes, I've often wondered when I was doing my self-portraits why I would keep changing my mouth.
Right. She has the mouth like her dad.
Yes.
So she went and found intuitively her mom's mouth. I love this fucking story.
Yeah. So she goes, I struggled with the mouth and I would paint mine and then I would paint another mouth. And she goes, so wait a minute. She goes, are you telling me? And I said, yeah. I said, the mouth is your mother's mouth. And she goes, oh my God. So she was painting her father's mouth, which is her mouth. Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. And here she was getting the validation by talking to a medium who's looking at her mother and talking to her, and who also happens to love sketching and art. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I so appreciated that. So anyhow, that brought us to the end of her session. And then at the end of it, she just said to me, I freaking loved this session. Mm-hmm. She said, if you weren't booked for 2 years out, she says, I'd book again. She says, I just know that I can't get in now for 2 years. But she says, you know what, Karen, I think I'm going to go on and book anyway. She said, because in 2 years, it should be time to have a visit with my biological mom again and to catch up. Mm-hmm. And she says, so I think I'm going to do that. So then, Kelly, we ended our session. She leaves. And I'm sitting just at my desk doing some prep work for Patreon and all of our patrons. And I hear ding. And I just on my cell phone, because it's beside the iMac, mm-hmm. like on a little stand, I see her email come in and her date of booking in 2026.
That's fun.
I'm like,
so you get to talk to mom again.
I do.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's funny. I know this isn't the focus of the story, but it's just like you see those bookings come in and you're like, oh, I'm going to enjoy that hour.
Yes.
I get to sit back down with a healthy attachment style.
Yeah.
With a mom who's just excited to love her kid.
Yeah. And I'm tickled pink. I feel so honored. I feel so freaking honored to be able to give a biological mom who's died the ability to talk to her alive daughter,
mm-hmm.
like and both ways,
yep.
and that I'm just the third person to relay the conversation between the two of them to create that connection.
Yeah, I think this is really neat, and I just want to say this. I'm not bringing this up as a plug, though I guess it works as one. This is why you take such great care of your health.
Yes.
Because, and I know a lot of people have asked, like, what do you do? How do you take such good care of yourself? How do you still have energy every day for 6 hours of channeling? You are so acutely aware of the fact that mm-hmm. you are the host
yeah.
of these conversations. Mm-hmm. It's the same as opening the door and saying to this daughter and this mother, come in, sit at my table to have tea together.
Mm-hmm.
If you closed your door and said, sorry, I drank last night. Sorry, I, ate a bunch of sugar and don't feel great. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't feel up to it. I didn't, I worked out too hard and I didn't take care of my neck muscles. I've got a migraine. Mm-hmm. You shut all these conversations down when you're not mm-hmm. taking care of your health because you're literally mm-hmm. the facilitator.
Yeah.
So I point this out because as a daughter, I'm very grateful you take care of you because that means you're here for my life. That's my mm-hmm. selfish happiness. For the clients who now get to understand that you take impeccable care of yourself because mm-hmm. you know that if you don't show up for your job, it means they have to wait longer for a conversation.
That's right.
You don't take that lightly.
I don't.
It's not fun canceling a session and saying I'm sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun saying, I'm sorry, I can't see you today. I have to go to the chiropractors.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
Health is the number one priority so that you can facilitate all these beautiful connections.
That's right.
And I just want to say thank you on behalf of everyone.
Oh.
Because as Zita did with that day with her mom, your whole life changes, right?
Yeah.
It's what you look forward to. It's what you hope for. It gives you that direction, clarity, and relief they're all looking for too. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlos. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.